Move by Mamma Mia is the exercise app for anybody, anywhere. And in case you missed it, we dropped a brand new stretching collection that can be used to improve mobility and bookend your favourite sweat sessions. Mamma Mia subscribers get unlimited access to Move, and we drop new workouts every single week. If you're on the hunt for movement that makes you feel good, head to move.mamamia.com.au and use the code MOVE10 to get $10 off a yearly subscription. From Mamma Mia, hi, I'm Claire Murphy. Welcome to The Quickie, getting you up to speed daily. Today, we found out that Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, has finally become a mum. The little boy arriving at 5:26 a.m. Monday, May 6, UK time.
It's been the most amazing experience I can ever possibly imagine. How any woman does what they do is beyond comprehension, but we're both absolutely thrilled and so grateful to all the love and support for everybody out there, It's been amazing. So we just wanted to share this with everybody.
So what do we know about what it's like for a royal to give birth? From the modern day royal mum to the history of queens in labour, today we speak to our experts and find out everything you need to know about the birth of a little royal. Today, the traditional announcement of the arrival of a new royal baby was placed on the easel outside Buckingham Palace, accompanied by a very modern Instagram post that the Duke and Duchess of Sussex had welcomed a baby boy, born on Monday, May 6 at 5:26 a.m. UK time, or just before 2:30 p.m. our time yesterday.
I haven't been at many births. this is definitely my first birth. But it was amazing, absolutely incredible. And as I said, I'm so incredibly proud of my wife. And as every father and parent would ever say, you know, your baby is absolutely amazing, but this little thing is absolutely to die for, so I'm just over the moon.
Weighing 7 pounds, 3 ounces, the new arrival is seventh in line to the throne and will most likely hold the title of the Earl of Dumbarton. That title could change, though. The Queen may decide to give the baby an HRH title, like she did with Will's and Kate's children, who are all prince and princesses. But if not, he'll eventually inherit the title of Duke of Sussex from his dad. We don't know the little one's name yet. Royals like to keep us waiting. We didn't find out Princess Charlotte's name until a full 54 hours and 29 minutes after she was born back in 2015. But we can probably expect a short statement from Kensington Palace soon. Meghan's mum, Doria, was present at the birth with the Queen called by Harry first to share the news, followed by his dad, Prince Charles, and stepmum, Camilla. Then it was brother William and sister-in-law, Kate. Mamma Mia's royal correspondent, Polly Taylor, has been waiting for this day to arrive. Polly, the birth of this baby was kept pretty under wraps, and we're hearing that we're not going to be seeing him for another couple of days yet.
No, we're not. Meghan and Harry released a statement via Buckingham Palace where they basically said that they're really grateful for all the goodwill that they've received, but they have chosen to keep the details of the baby's birth private. So that means we won't be seeing the traditional Lindo Wing photo call that we've seen with all three of Kate Middleton's children, with Princess Diana, with obviously William and Harry.
So do we know why Meghan has chosen to not have this baby in the Lindo Wing? Because we don't have anything confirmed.
No, I mean, we don't know for sure. We know that since she's married into the royal family, she has made a bit of a habit of bucking royal tradition. So it's not that surprising. But I mean, in practical terms, she now lives in Frogmore Cottage, which is in Windsor. That's about a 40 to 50 minute drive from St Mary's and where the Lindo Wing is in Paddington in London. So in practical terms, that's a little bit too far away. She's also 37, which means she's having a geriatric pregnancy.
That is the worst term
in the world. Oh my God, isn't it?
The worst.
Yes.
Anyway.
But that does mean that there's slightly more risk of complications, so she probably doesn't want to take any risks.
Okay, well, we were talking about the Lindo Wing. This is where a ton of royal babies are born, not just the ones that, you know, off the top of your head, all of William's and Kate's and Princess Diana's, of course, but others. Do we know what the Lindo Wing even looks like? Like, what's going on? I've got this vision of it being like this, like a palace, but in a hospital. Yeah. What does it look like? Is it fancy?
I mean, there's actually a YouTube video where you can have a tour, a walkthrough of the Lindo Wing. On first glance, it doesn't look that different from any other maternity ward you might see here in Australia. But if you dig a bit deeper, there are some real sort of luxurious touches there. All the rooms are carpeted. They've got really luxurious, lovely linens on the bed. And then there's things like the food. There's a high tea that can be served. I think that the new mum can have a nanny take her newborn so she can have a four-course meal with her partner, with champagne and everything like that. It's sort of like a hotel, a luxury hotel. And the prices reflect that. The one-night delivery package costs 5,900 euros. Oof. And then it's 1,175 euros a night after that if you want to stay on. So for that luxury, I think, you know, you'd stay for at least a week, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, of course, we've all got cash to splash on a week in a maternity ward like that. Are there any protocols surrounding what Meghan and Harry call this baby?
There's no protocol, so they're not obligated to name the baby after a particular king or queen or anything like that. But obviously there are traditional royal family names. Whether they'll go down that route or not, we don't know. Who knows? You know, Meghan, as I said before, has made a bit of a habit of bucking tradition. But currently Arthur's the favourite. Charles is also up there, so maybe they'll name the baby after Prince Charles.
Can we go back to some previous royal babies and find out sort of what traditions they went by?
Yeah, well, apparently Diana chose William and Harry because Charles didn't want those names. He wanted Arthur and Albert, and she said no. Fergie named Eugenie after Victoria Eugenie Battenberg, which is Queen Victoria's daughter. And Beatrice, she was a surprise name. They didn't even announce until 2 weeks after she was born.
There's word that Doria, Meghan's mum, will be helping out during the first few weeks, but it's likely a nanny will step in at some stage, although possibly not the traditional Norlin nannies favoured by the royal family. In fact, they may even be an American, because a new little royal could also be a dual UK-US citizen. This new baby is joining a family that has a long, well-documented history. For example, we know that all except for one of the Queen's children were born at home in Buckingham Palace. Only Princess Anne was born at Clarence House. Her husband, Prince Philip, wasn't expected to be at the birth of his children and in fact was playing squash while then Princess Elizabeth gave birth to Charles. He was there when Edward was born and reportedly, on seeing how serious everyone in the room was, cracked a joke that the President of France had had a bath in that very room they were in just the week before. Queen Victoria was the first to introduce pain relief during labour. For the birth of her eighth son, Leopold, she had a doctor give her chloroform to numb the pain. From then on, royal women politely began to request ether during childbirth. When Queen Elizabeth I was born in 1533, the threat of a queen dying in childbirth was so great that they all had to write a will right before going into labour. UK-based royal writer Christopher Warwick says royal women also have the Queen's father to thank for an outdated tradition that would have seen an unwelcome guest have to join Meghan in the delivery room.
Protocol kind of went out the window way, way back in 1688 when there was something called the warming pan incident. And this was when Mary of Modena, the wife of James II, He was a wildly unpopular king when their child was born. There were accusations that this was a changeling, that it wasn't theirs, that it was actually smuggled into the Queen's bedchamber in a warming pan. Now, after that, it was always protocol, it was always precedent that the Home Secretary would be present at a royal birth to verify the fact that the Queen actually had given birth to this baby, that nobody had smuggled it in. Well, that, of course, you weren't going to have the Home Secretary right in the room as she gave birth in later years. And in 1948, when the present Queen as Princess Elizabeth was having Prince Charles, King George VI, her father, said, "This is utter nonsense, it's outdated," and he abolished it.
Thank you, King George. That's all for The Quickie today. For more episodes, head to mamamia.com.au/thequickie. And if you need something to listen to, why not check out our separation and divorce podcast, The Split. With over one in three marriages ending in divorce, chances are you know someone who's going through it. And if you want to know how to help them, this is the show for you. Search The Split in your podcast app or follow the link in our show notes.